You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I don't know if it's quite what Bon Jovi had in mind when he performed that song, but I'll tell you what, it brings a glimmer to my eye to consider that we're giving it a shot here. And for the last 16 and a half years, ladies and gentlemen, we've given it a shot. And
our inspiration are people like Paul Fromm, who we were talking about this.
Remember? Yeah, go ahead and tell the story. Should we tell the story now, or should we tell it when Paul comes on in the next segment?
Let's do it when he comes on the next segment. But, I mean, he's the real deal, folks. I mean,
isn't everybody we have on this show the real deal?
Well, I mean, there are some people that insist on going first class. He would go, you know.
Cargo.
He would go not only in tourist class, but in cargo class. To spread the word, he is that devoted and that much of a true believer. He really is, and he's an inspiration, really. When you think about what he's endured, the persecution he's endured under Canada with their hate speech laws and whatnot, and he just soldiers on with a smile, just keeps
and
on.
He is that type of guy, and we're going to get to Paul Fromm here at the top of the next segment. He'll be with us for the remainder of the broadcast tonight. And what a great Keith, tonight. I mean, March Around the World personified with Peter Rushton from the UK.
There are heroes for our race everywhere.
Remy Tremblay and French Canada, Paul Fromm from Canada proper, and then remaining this month with only 2 weeks left to go. I mean, we're halfway through it after tonight, but still stops to be made in Croatia, Sweden, Germany, and Scotland.
And everybody, everywhere there's a increased awareness, an awakening, if you will, to the plight of our race. And I think, and it's no longer, they want to portray love is hate on the left and hate is love, okay? For example, the civil rights movement wasn't pro-black, it was anti-white. The feminist movement wasn't pro-woman, it was anti-man or anti-male. The homosexual rights movement wasn't pro-homosexual, it was anti-heterosexual. Well, also, they call us hate groups. We're actually love groups. We're the people that love white people.
Well, let me tell you something, Keith, about that. As you know, and as we mentioned, as everyone knows now, we've been universally deplatformed. If you want to support the work of this show, you got to send in a paper check or money order. Our critical first quarter fundraising drive is well underway now. We're nearly half through it at this point. If you've not yet contributed, I would ask you kindly to consider doing so now. Once again, due to censorship and deplatforming, we can no longer accept credit card donations. So please send your checks or money order made payable to the Political Cesspool to TPC, P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. If you like our show, if you like this special series, if you look forward to Confederate History Month next month, it's TPC, P.O. Box 34336, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. Let me tell you, Keith,
and let me remind everybody one more thing.
Gold
bullion bars are still accepted.
And we do accept well-concealed cash as well. But, hey, let me tell you something. I think we have the perfect gift for this critical moment in the 16-and-a-half-year history of TPC. It is the book Crucible by Jason Kuna. Jason Kuna has been a longtime friend of mine. This is an autobiography of sorts, but I actually received a truckload of these books this week that are going to go out to donors, and I thumbed through it. This is the perfect book, the perfect message at the most critical time for TPC.
That and your book, Racism, Smacism, are the two most timely books for these times, in my opinion.
I'll tell you, Jason also, not only did he autograph all of these books that will go to contributors of $100 or more, but he also included a printed out personal letter to the supporters and fans of TPC. If you contribute $100 or more, I'm sorry, you can't do it online anymore. That's the state of the nation in which we live, but you can send it still by check or money order, and you'll get this book. I'm telling you, it is an impressive message. I've been thumbing through it this week, and I've seen the message that Jason has handwritten, inscribed into each of these books. Folks, you want this, and you want to keep us on the air. And so many people have already contributed. Keith, there have been people who contributed monthly with recurring donations who have sent a year's worth of contributions in advance because of the deplatforming. They're fighting back against that.
You're talking about the widow's might. Striding, we get them here.
Striking the blow. Here is Ralph in Arkansas to James and Keith. Here's my contribution. I pray to God for your protection and your strength to keep fighting our enemies. For Christ, for Dixie, for our people. That's Ralph in Arkansas. And those are the people. Keith, to Ralph, what do we say?
Deal Vendice, my friend.
That's for sure. But I'll tell you what, it's not just Dixians. It's also Roger up in Auburn, Pennsylvania. Greetings, James and Keith and everyone at TPC. Here's my contribution to your program. I listen every week. Keep the faith and stay well. Well, we're certainly trying that, are we not?
Look, there are people all over the fruited plain, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, that are in our camp that see that this is a racial battle. Ultimately, it's not liberal conservative. It's not Christian Muslim. It's not all these other things. They're going after us now because of our race. And there's not any hiding it anymore. They've totally taken the wraps off of it. And it's time that we started answering the slanders that they have leveled at our race. And somebody needs to do it. It's a job that the mainstream media won't do, but we'll do here at TPC.
We're doing the jobs other Americans refuse to do.
That's right, yeah.
That's what they say. Hey, here's what. Keep up the great work. I've been listening since 2005. Well, hey, I'll tell you what, so have I.
It seems like 1905.
How about this from Jason in Alabama? Happened to hear of your deplatforming on the most recent show that was last week. Please accept the enclosed modest gift in support of your work for our people. Thank you for your courage and your perseverance. Well, as we said to Jason in Alabama, you know, so many people thank us for what we do, Keith, but Keith, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our audience. So we thank them. I mean, it is a truly symbiotic as opposed to parasitic. It is a symbiotic relationship. Our audience appreciates us. We don't survive without them. We appreciate them.
Well, the fact that we have this audience shows that there is a purpose. There is a need for the type of show that we have. Somebody has to speak up for the dispossessed majority.
And here is one very quickly from Pam and her husband in Virginia. Mailed this the first thing on Monday morning. I was waiting for your quarterly request, but after listening to your show last week, I thought I would drop this in the mail right away. And they sent their quarterly support immediately, even before receiving the letter that so many of our contributors do. They sent it even just hearing messages.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Gentlemen, we got to take a quick time out here. That's Hey Paul. Oh, no, that's Hey Paula by Paul and Paula from 1963. Hey, Keith, were we better off in 63 or are we better off now?
Very much better off in 63, believe me.
Why do we play that song?
Because we have the ultimate Paul, the one that is everybody's, you know, dreamboat. Paul Frohm has come on to the show again. He is the real McCoy. He's the guy that will travel from Quebec to Memphis to speak to a group of 15 people and with a happy warrior's outlook on everything. I've never seen a – he doesn't require traveling first class. He'll go cargo class. He is that committed to the movement.
I'll tell you this about Paul Frohm. Ladies and gentlemen, I could tell you so much about Paul. I met Paul Frohm before I ever even started this show. I met Paul Frohm at a conference that we were both speaking at in New Orleans in the spring of 2004. We went on the air for the first time in October of 2004. Paul Frohm is the real deal, and he has been a mainstay and recurring guest. As far as I'm concerned, one of my very favorite guests throughout the entire 16-and-a-half-year run of this show. He is the director,
the real deal,
of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. He is Paul Frohm. Be sure to check him out at CanadianFreeSpeech.com. Paul, it's our march around the world. You're representing Canada, and it's great to have you tonight.
It's great to be back on your show, and you've had some really great people on, and I'm glad you had my friend Peter Rushton from Britain on, one of the best informed people I know.
Have you ever had bumper music like that before, Paul?
But did you even know Paul and Paula? Hey, Paul.
Yes, I remember that song. That'd be probably somewhere around maybe 1963 or 4.
Yeah, there it is. Hey, yeah, hey, I mean, he's got it.
He's sharp as a tack steel, man.
He nailed it. But, hey, listen.
He should be on Jeopardy.
Yeah. You're not the only one sitting mutual. You're not the only member of the Mutual Admiration Society tonight, Paul. Peter Rushton, who represented the UK in the first hour, wrote, and I quote, keep up the great work and best wishes to my friend Paul Fromm, who is now shockingly banned from the UK. When you speak to him later, well, now we're speaking to you in real time, Paul. You've been banned all over the place, have you not? I mean, we can't. We were talking. Keith Alexander and I were talking in the last segment about how you would used to come down. And you would give speeches to groups, you know, small groups at the Shoney's restaurant in the meeting room at Shoney's
at Bartlett. I mean, this is. I was really impressed. You know, that's the type of thing that doesn't impress some people. That impressed the heck out of me because I said, this guy is really committed. This guy is the real deal. He's not in it for the money. He's not into it for the fame. He's doing it because he truly is committed to our movement.
But now you can't travel all sorts of places. And where do we stand on that particular question, Paul?
Well, I haven't applied in the last couple of years for a visa to the States, so I don't know how things stand there. But I am banned from Britain. I am not banned from Russia.
Go to Russia, then. That's a better place.
Do they have a Shoney's in Russia? That's what we want to know.
I actually did speak in Russia a good many years ago. It really says something about the depraved leadership of our countries right now. That we basically are led by people who are brutally hostile to white people. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, we used to hear that America was land of the free and home of the brave. Well, I tell you what, it may be the land of the home of the brave, but it's not the land of the free anymore. In fact, they're freer in Russia than they are in America.
Well, and we talked with this about Remy Tremblay, the French-Canadian journalist, in the previous hour as we continued this march around the world. Canada is our stop right now. And he was saying that the percentage overall, if you take up places like Toronto, it would certainly be much more, but the overall percentage of whites in Canada is 80% plus, but yet they don't have a party of their own. They don't have an organization of their own that speaks for itself,
We asked Mr. Tremblay, said, is there a equivalent to Marie Le Pen in French Canada, in Quebec? No. And there isn't a Donald Trump even.
Well, other
in Canada.
Than Paul Fromm with his Canada Cafe. I mean, what do we got, Paul, with regards to the people who stand up for the majority?
Yeah, you are
in
you're the major spokesman in Canada, my friend.
Hello.
Yeah, what is the we're talking about the percentage of whites in Canada versus the amount of representation they have with regards to party politics and issue advocacy organizations. So where do we stand right now on that question, Paul?
Whites are still about 78% of Canada of the population, but there are very few organizations that actually stand up for white people. There are a couple of free speech organizations. Ours is one of them. But as far as I know, the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee is one of perhaps only three in the country that stands up for the interests of the European founding settler people, or to put it bluntly, white people. This is a real problem up here. I know there's been some really interesting headline-grabbing immigration stories down there in the States. Of course, the policies of the social justice warriors and Joe Biden are coming home to roost. I mean, the word went out that he's not going to really enforce the immigration laws, and no surprise that the hordes from Central America came pouring forth. In our country, we took a tremendous economic hit because of the overreaction to COVID. At one point, we had 13% unemployment. Now, we got some jobs back last month, so we're we're down to unemployment of about 8.2%. But what the government plans to do is to bring in 400,000 immigrants this year, if transportation permitting. That would be because we're 1/9 your size. That'd be about the equivalent of 3.5 million immigrants to the United States. And they always give you an economic reason. They say, well, we've got an aging workforce. Well, that may be true, but we've got 8.2% of the workforce out of work. Well, we need immigration to grow the economy, we're told. But it all comes down to jobs. Now, if there's no jobs, what's the newcomer going to do? Either takes a job from a Canadian, in which case we lose, or doesn't get a job, in which case we have to support him and his family, in which case
we
lose.
You need a workforce, not a welfare force.
Yes. So the economic arguments, though, are really just nonsense to delude the innocent or the foolish. What it's all about, basically, is the replacement of the European founding settler people or white people. I mean, the end game of immigration, and the reason they're so fanatically attached to it, even in these bad economic times, is because they can't replace us fast enough. That is the basic reality.
And that's the way it is, not just in Canada and America, but everywhere where white people are.
And that is why we are having our march around the world, as we seek to find out how our people are doing throughout the Western world and beyond, in Eastern Europe too. We're doing that this month. Paul Fromm, what a fantastic leader for our cause. We'll be back with him right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Stimulus money is on its way, according to the Treasury Department. Americans could begin seeing their payments from the latest COVID relief bill hit their bank account as early as this weekend. The Internal Revenue Service says that people can begin to check on the status of their payments starting on Monday at their website. The first round of payments will be sent out via direct deposit, with paper checks and debit cards being mailed out later this month. And Italy is set to begin a new round of lockdowns a year after the coronavirus first hit the nation. The government says it's trying to contain a new surge in cases fueled by new, more contagious variants. On Saturday, the country recorded more than 26,000 new coronavirus cases. In half of Italy's 20 regions, new restrictions begin on Monday, with non-essential shops closed and people allowed to leave their homes only for work or health reasons. The entire country will go under those restrictions over the Easter weekend. This is USA Radio News.
For 3 years, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and the MyPillow Premium Pillow and how I get the best night's sleep of my life, how they don't go flat. They are washable and dryable and made in the USA. And it continues the MyPillow Premium Pillow Special from Mike Lindell. A standard or queen size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're saving $40. King size pillows, only $5 more. 60-day money back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. And while you're at MyPillow.com, check out all the deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas announced Saturday that FEMA will begin to assist with housing the influx of unaccompanied minors at the southern border. In a statement, Mayorkas said that a border patrol facility is no place for a child and that FEMA would work to find a family member or sponsor to place children with until their immigration case could be processed. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte says the situation on the border continues to be made worse by the Biden administration's policies. He tells Fox News the administration is taking away the tools that Border Patrol agents need to do their jobs.
When I was down on the southern border in 2019, I spent time talking to those border agents, the ones that are trying to defend the security of this country. And they were very clear. They said, listen, we can do our job if we have the right tools. I'm very concerned that with these reckless policies, open border policies of the Biden administration, we're taking away the tools that the border agents need to secure our border and to protect our communities.
This is USA Radio News.
Inmates on guard from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and join in love together.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we are enjoying about this very special series, this march around the world, is not just to bring you the greatest thought leaders and activists and elected officials from our various ports of call throughout the Western world and indeed the Eastern European world, but to also bring to you their culture, their habits, and their music. That is The Maple Leaf Forever. Paul, why is that such a special song to you and to our kinsmen and brothers and cousins in Canada?
Well, it was actually our traditional anthem. And it, if you listen to all the verses, it's much more upbeat, and it talks about our history. Old Canada has been revised so many times. For about 20 years ago, the line, true patriot in all thy sons command. Well, that offended the feminists. Thy sons command got removed for something else. In fact, the words have changed so often. At a public event, if Old Canada is sung, half the people don't know the words. People sort of hum along or lip sync along, but it's a joke. Whereas everybody, as far as I know, my experiences in the States knew the national anthem, and especially when I've been in the South, knew Dixie. I love some of those early CCC meetings I went to, and there people would be proudly singing Dixie, and up there at the front of the room was the Confederate flag. That was a really emotional charge.
Well, I think from the Maple Leaf, what is it, anthem to Maple Leaf rag now, I guess. That'd be Scott Joplin.
I'll tell you what, we could sing Dixie before this show's over if you three want to.
I tell you what, I love it. I never tire of it.
But anyway, Paul, it's great to have the music of the respective nations that we're featuring during our march around the world. And, of course, you, my friend, if there's a Canadian that's done more on behalf of the cause of our people during this contemporary age than you, we'd certainly like to meet him, and we'd certainly like to know
him. I don't
think
there is such a person. Let me ask you a specific question now, getting back down to brass tacks. What's this I hear about Vancouver, British Columbia, becoming a Chinese city, and the Chinese military is actually doing maneuvers in British Columbia? Is that folklore? Is that hearsay? Is that fake news? Or what's going on?
I think that is half right. I know Vancouver very well, and it is increasingly a Chinese city, filled with Chinese millionaires, really entitled people, the idle rich, the young kids, many of them are idle rich, very becoming really a Chinese city, and a major base for the Red Chinese infiltration and espionage in Canada. There's been talk of Chinese troops. I don't believe that's correct. What is correct is that we have been training Chinese troops in Arctic warfare, but they're not in Vancouver. They were up in the Arctic, and that's particularly stupid because the China is not an Arctic power, but it does have ambitions. And, you know, there's a lot of thought that if there's a bit of warming in the Arctic, the Northwest Passage may be navigable, and there's an awful lot of mineral wealth under the Arctic Ocean. And the Chinese have already built two icebreakers. I mean, they have a goal of trying to horn in on whatever might open up in the Arctic. Well, why would we be training their troops in combat in Arctic areas? There's nowhere in China that would actually.
Maybe they're casting covetous eyes on Siberia. Maybe Russia needs to worry, but I guess.
Oh, yes. That too.
Of course, on the other hand, they may just skip Russia altogether and just take over Canada. And the Yukon and the Northwest Territories will be Chinese outposts.
Yes, and because they're so sparsely populated, they're difficult even to patrol and defend. I mean, there's a tremendous chunk of real estate from Alaska all the way east to the Atlantic Ocean. You know, it's a huge chunk of real estate. They're very, very sparsely populated. Why we would be training the Red Chinese troops for that type of combat is beyond me. But we have a prime minister who's very favorable to Red China.
Well, they don't have to worry about fighting for it. Justin Trudeau will just give it away if he has half a chance.
Yes. One of the heroes of the Red Chinese pantheon is a man named Dr. Norman Bethune. Now, he's a Canadian. He's a Canadian communist. He went to Russia in 1935. He was convinced that communism was the way of the future. He then went and fought in the Spanish Civil War with the communists. And then in 1938, he went to Red China. And he was with Mao's communists on the Long March, and he died in 39 of an infected. He cut himself on a knife, a scalpel, and died. Anyway, the Red Chinese made a big hero of him, and they've named institutions after him. Well, when we were about open diplomatic relations with the Red Chinese under Trudeau the First in the early 70s, we made a national park out of his birthplace in Gravenhurst, Ontario. And there was recently a memo from Parks Canada, they're the ones that run the place, saying that we've got to actively promote this place and promote understanding and appreciation of the values of Norman Bethune. I'll quote it to you. They say that they want more visitors and volunteers to act as proud ambassadors of Bethune's values and humanitarian ideals. He was a dead-end hardcore communist. His values...
And a traitor to the historic Canadian nation.
Yes, and this shows you the thinking of our rotten social justice warrior elite. Bethune was in Russia. He became converted during the Stalin period. Stalin was filling up the gulags. He had starved to death between 8 and 10 million Ukrainians a couple of years before. So there could be no doubt as to the evil, profoundly evil nature of the country, of Stalin, and Bethune became a communist. This is almost unbelievable. But it's true.
You talk about a lost opportunity, Paul. Remember when they had all of those Cossacks and other Russians and Ukrainians that were sent back by the Roosevelt administration to Russia in almost certain death under Stalin? What if those people had been allowed to settle the Northwest Territories in the Yukon? I've always that's one of those idle historic possibilities that, for some reason, are irresistible to me to consider.
Hold on right there. Hold on before you answer, Paul, and not to interrupt, but we have an important TPC fact that has been mailed in from one of our listeners, and his name is Bill. And he says, "Dear James Edwards, I believe the conference that you first met Paul was the European Unity and Rights Organization Conference in New Orleans back in 2004. Bill, you are correct about that. That is when I first met Paul. Then he writes, then in 2005, there was the second annual meeting where guests like Paul Fromm, Don Black, Jamie Kelso, Edgar Steele, Lady Michelle Renouf, who we mentioned earlier tonight with Peter Rushton, Kevin Strom, Nick Griffin, and several others. I remember hearing about that conference so many years ago. Does it ring a bell? Well, Paul, it certainly rings a bell to me because it was when I first met you, and my life has been better ever since, and my activism has been stronger, and this show has been
better. You say your life has been bitter or your life has been better?
No, it's been better, and this show has been better because we've been featuring Paul for the last 16 years. But that's when we first met, and there is this astute listener who remembered the name and the dates and the location and all of the speakers, and I was there for both of
and
those
see, that
events.
Just shows you
and
how...
'04 and '05. But
I mean, he's one of the founding fathers of the movement, man. He really was. He was there when they landed on Plymouth Rock.
Do you remember those Saturday conferences, Paul?
Yes, I do. And, you know, that first conference in 2004 was... such a great conference. You probably recall that David Duke and a number of others worked on something called the New Orleans Protocol, which we then tried
to... Hold on right there. We'll come back with that when we come back. We got to take a break. See you there. Stay tuned, everybody.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, little Q. The calm before the storm. By a friend of Medjugorje, the strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, little Q, the calm before the storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, wish I was in the land of cotton wood town there. I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land I took my stand and
Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I know Confederate History Month is next month. That's next month's special series. Right now, we're in our March Around the World, and what a fantastic guest we have right here and now, Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression, CanadianFreeSpeech.com. But Paul...
And leader of the clandestine group, the Canadian Sons of Confederate Veterans.
Well, hey, Paul, listen, you can agree or disagree with this request.
It's such a rousing version of Dixie. And a little-known fact to almost all Canadians, and probably to your listeners, even in the South, is that a majority of Canadians and a majority of Canadian newspapers supported the Confederacy in the war of Yankee aggression. Actually, Canada,
I did not know that. Did you know that, Keith?
Yeah, and furthermore, Clement Van Landingham, the Copperhead governor of Ohio, who was persecuted by Lincoln, and he tried to arrest him. Where did he flee? He fled to Canada because it was a friendly place.
Hold on right there. Now, gentlemen, you can agree or disagree with me to move forward from this point. But, Paul, we have a request from a female listener who asks us to sing Dixie. She says she always loves to hear men sing it. So I'm not going to ask y'all to go to the obscure verses of Mrs. Mary Will the Weaver and all of that, but do you think the three of us could sing the first verse of Dixie? Keith, could you do that?
I can do it.
And Paul, can you do it?
I'm not sure, but probably.
Well, the question is, do you want to do it? If you don't want to do it, we'll move on and let you...
Do you want to do it, Paul? That's the question.
I don't think so.
Hey, listen, I would sing O Canada for you.
No, I'll sing Maple Leaf Rag, okay?
Hey, Paul, let me ask you this. We had you on back in January. January was when we had Fromgate on, and so you had contributed a modest amount of money to a political candidate, and it made all national news. But every time I Google you, Paul, you make national news. And
you're the George Soros of the right.
No, every time I Google Paul Fromm, he's in the news for some reason or another. So we had him back on earlier this year, January, February, early, late January, I believe it was. So that was Fromgate. You had donated the money to a political candidate or party, and they had to answer for that. Well, now I saw, and just here in America, we are receiving our third round of GIBS, third round of stimulus payments for suffering through the so-called...
Are you stimulated?
The so-called coronavirus, and so Americans are going to be receiving their third round of payments this month. You received a payment from Canada... they didn't too much like that, did they? I mean, they didn't like the fact that you received it just like everybody else did, and they wanted you to pay it back and then some. Or what was going on there? I read this in the news. Break it down for us.
Well, the government, I think the government panicked last year. They were shutting down much of the economy. Huge numbers of people were being unemployed. Businesses were being closed temporarily. Some went out of business. So they brought in a number of programs. One of them was a wage subsidy program where they would pay up to about 75% of an employee's salary up to a certain amount of money if the company kept that employee on rather than, throwing them on the unemployment rolls, or if they rehired the employee. Okay, so that was open to any company. Now, I'm involved with two companies, and you've mentioned them, the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. We are companies. We are non-profit, but we have a very modest number of employees, and I mean modest, but we applied for the grants like anybody else, and we got them, and the list of people who got companies that get the grants were published, and I guess they weren't published until December, and of course the
anti-racist groups, the anti-free speech groups, absolutely flipped out. You know, they highlighted it as the government supporting Nazis. You know, nobody's a patriot. Nobody's in favor of free speech. If you hold those bizarre ideas, you're a Nazi.
So they probably put the whole program on ice. This giveaway stimulus they had, they probably canceled the whole thing out for all Canadians rather than allow you to get benefit from it.
I actually saw Paul's quote in the story, and he said it was peanuts. It was peanuts, but yet it brought national recognition to the whole entire program, Paul.
Oh, yeah. They absolutely flipped out. Absolutely went bananas. But when we talked last, I don't think, this actually hadn't happened yet. Churches are being persecuted up here, again, depending on the province. It varies from province to province. In some places, church services are simply not allowed. In others, up to maybe 10 people. Well, for most churches, that's a joke. There's been almost no pushback. The mainline Christian churches absolutely collapsed. You don't hear a word from them. The Catholic United, what you call them, the Episcopalians, Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, get silence. A few fundamentalist Protestant pastors did open, and a number of them were fined. And one in Alberta, which is supposedly a right-wing province, Reverend James Coates, he's in jail. And the way the Canadian justice system can get you is this. Although the worst that can happen to him is that he will be fined again, he was put in jail. And the only way to get out of jail was to sign a bail conditions. And the bail conditions were that he was not to reopen his church. Well, he said, I can't do that. My beliefs, the Lord calls me to bring the people of God together every Sunday to worship. And we worship together, and we worship without masks on. Well, as he would not sign those bail conditions, he remains in jail. He's now into his fourth week in prison. And a friend of mine who has actually done some time in that place, that's the Edmonton Remand Center in Edmonton, Alberta, he says it's not a nice place. Most of the people in there are not nice people. Indians in there for various violent offenses and druggies. And it's not a very nice place for a Christian pastor. But he has really stuck to his principles. He could be out tomorrow if he would simply sign those bail conditions and say, yeah, I'll shut down my church. I have to point out to people, this is not in communist North Bloody Korea. It's not in Cuba. It's in Canada. The war on religion is alive and well, and much of the Christian ministry is dead asleep. They are doing nothing. It is really pathetic.
They're doing worse than nothing. They're actually assisting the enemies of free speech and of Christianity. They're going to be chasing you and that pastor like Albert Johnson, the Mad Trapper, in that movie starring of what's the guy that did Evil That Men Do? What's the guy?
Well, it's like Keith with my pastor in my church, where the Southern Baptist Convention expelled our entire church because my pastor wouldn't expel me as a member. That's what's going on here. But thankfully, we have Paul Fromm, the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression. CanadianFreeSpeech.com, ladies and gentlemen, that's where you want to go. If you're listening in Canada, and we do have a contingent of Canadian listeners, CanadianFreeSpeech.com. Paul Fromm is the real deal. Paul, we go back now with the last minute remaining tonight to our initial meeting back in 2004 in New Orleans. I'm a better man for it and a better activist for it. Thank you so much for appearing with us now for 16 and a half years going strong, and I think the best is yet to come. We have so many more appearances for Paul Fromm on this radio program. Paul, 20 seconds to go tonight. The last word is yours.
Well, just a little correction. our website is is cafe, C-A-F-E dot nfshost.com. Cafe, C-A-F-E dot nfshost.com. That's where you can read up about all the persecution of free speech and like things in Canada. And if you'd like to be in touch with me personally, it's paul at paulfromm.com. Very simple. Paul at paulfromm.com. And I hope we'll have another 16 years.
Hey, amen, brother. We will. We will, if God wills it. And thank you for being with us tonight as our march around the world. We'll talk to you again very soon. Paul Fromm. Good night and Godspeed. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. For Remy Tremblay and Peter Rushton as well. Good night and Godspeed.